Radio Prague News.
The Education Ministry has released millions of crowns to fund a project teaching grade school students that global warming is not man-made, the Daily Pravo reports. The Czech Republic has the lowest tax revenues in the European Union, according to a press report, and Ombudsman Pavel Varvarovsky has issued a set of recommendations to combat price discrimination against foreigners and minorities. The Daily Pravo reports that the Education Ministry has released 11 million crowns for a project to teach grade school students that global warming is a natural rather than a man-made phenomenon. An organizer for the project told Pravo that it aims to debunk myths about global warming, such as the, quote, common rumor that greenhouse effects are caused by man, and will consist of an original roadshow around regional primary and secondary schools. Pravo notes strong ties between Education Minister Josef Dobeš and President Klaus, an ardent climate change skeptic who recently called Mr. Dobeš the best education minister since the revolution. The Czech Republic has the lowest tax revenues of all EU member states, the Business Daily E15 reported on Tuesday. Taxes account for 45.9% of the state revenues, a vast majority of both the European Union and European Free Trade Association members levy at least 50% of their revenues from taxes. The Czech Republic has also disproportionately high social insurance rates. However, the government's reform efforts are aimed at changing this. The value-added tax rates are to rise as part of the pension reform, which will also lower people's contribution into the social and welfare system. Ombudsman Pavel Varvarovsky has issued a set of recommendations to combat price discrimination against foreigners and minorities. According to the Ombudsman's office, there is a growing number of cases where foreigners, Roma or homosexuals, are asked to pay higher prices for standard services or entrance fees. The office cites the case of Karlstein Castle, where information on discount entry fees was provided only in Czech. In other cases, it says up to 10 times the set price has been charged in places like discotheques in order to dissuade undesirable patrons. The Ombudsman's office emphasized that it has a liberal attitude towards price setting and that businessmen are free to set specific prices for specific customers, but that such prices must not be qualified by factors such as race, religion, or nationality. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days should be mostly cloudy, with daytime temperatures falling to around 21 degrees Celsius. For more news and features, please see our website at radio.cz. For now, for me, Christian Falvey, that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Jan Richter. In today's show, Czechs are shocked by a report claiming a toxic substance is to be illegally imported into the country. Then a new bestseller leads to speculation over the author's love affair with former president Václav Havel. And later, a look at the life of Czech writer Egon Hostovský, who left his homeland twice. All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. As the Czech government debates a controversial eco-tender on the cleanup of environmental pollution caused under the communist regime, the Daily Pravo has published a surprising story. Over 100 barrels of a toxic substance, beryllium, are reportedly being loaded on trucks in Kiev, Ukraine, to be transported to a secret destination in the Czech Republic. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Under the communist regime, factories often stored toxic waste as circumstances allowed until it could be transported to a toxic storage site. For years, a factory producing equipment for Russian nuclear submarines in Kiev, Ukraine, did what many other large suppliers in Russia's satellite states did. They sent the toxic waste to Russia to be buried at one of the toxic storage facilities set up without question. In this case, it was a storage facility near the city of Leningrad. However, after 1978, Russia stopped taking the toxic waste and the factory started storing it in its own backyard, out in the open, in sealed containers. The factory is long closed, but for the past 20 years, the Kiev administration has been looking for a way to get rid of the pile of beryllium, which local media describe as a ticking time bomb. Now the Kiev town hall says it has found a solution. It reportedly commissioned the Israeli firm Sci Group Consortium to find a means of getting rid of the waste and claims that a contract was signed with an entity in the Czech Republic which had agreed to take over the waste for the equivalent of 29 million Czech crowns. According to the local media, the waste is ready for transport to an unknown destination in the Czech Republic and should set off in a number of days. The route and destination are being kept under wraps for security reasons. Kevin Bridgen, a scientist with Greenpeace, explains what beryllium is.
Yeah, beryllium is a metal and it's often used in alloys with other metals. The biggest concern about beryllium is where it is processed, or materials containing beryllium are processed, and particularly where this generates fumes or dusts, so grinding type processes or high temperature processes. Now, where people are exposed to these dusts or fumes, even at very low levels and even for short periods of time, this can lead to what's known as beryllium sensitization. And some people will then go on to have a disease known as chronic beryllium disease. And this particularly affects the lungs. And at present, there is no known cure or treatment for this disease.
Let us say that it is transported in containers, sealed containers, and then, I don't know, say buried underground. How dangerous would it be then for it to be stored here for years?
If the material is kept contained, then there is going to be very little chance of exposure of people to this compound. However, how well it's contained and where it's going to be stored, if this is unknown, then obviously that needs to be made clear. And also, in addition to that, what other materials may be present within the wastes, unless it's pure beryllium. Presumably there are other compounds potentially present within the waste as well, with their own potential for health risks or risks to the environment.
The story has evoked serious concern in the Czech Republic, where the Environment Ministry says it knows nothing about the planned transport. Efforts to contact the respective Israeli firm have also proved unsuccessful, with the only source of information regarding the planned transfer being the Kiev authorities and the local media, which have not released any further details. Martin Bursík, a former Environment Minister, says it is now up to the authorities to act.
Based on the facts that were published by the media today, it's 100% illegal activity, and it is now on the Ministry for the Environment and Czech Inspection and also the police to follow this import, and by the time they reach and they cross the borders, immediately control the content and send them back because it's illegal.
You were Minister of the Environment yourself for a period. Were there many attempts or were there any attempts to smuggle toxic substances past the authorities to this country for storage, for instance, or other purposes?
Yeah, I have to say, unfortunately, yes. Some companies in Germany, Austria found as a good business to export their waste to the country where the price for getting rid of the waste was slower for them than to process it according to the rules of that state. And these were mostly illegal imports, where then it was very hard to find that company responsible in the Czech Republic for processing the waste.
The Czech Environment Ministry on Tuesday confirmed that it was looking into the matter. The only thing which appears certain at this point is that Ukraine, like many other post-communist states, is looking for ways to unload dangerous toxic waste and has reportedly earmarked 176 million hryvnias, the equivalent of 396 million Czech crowns, to deal with 22 toxic waste storage sites in the country.
Daniela Lazarova reporting. Coming up next, a novel titled Secret Book has been flying off the shelves in Czech bookstores. In it, author Irena Obermanová describes a secret affair with a figure that she refers to as the greatest Czech. The author is known for her very open, often autobiographical style of writing. And since the book's male protagonist shares many traits with former President Václav Havel, there is heated speculation over the veracity of her account. Sarah Borůvka talked to culture and society journalist Jana Cíglerová about the juicy bestseller.
It is about an affair between the author and this biggest Czech. And if you're asking me if I think it's true, I would say it's, for me, it's 100% true. I'm positive that it happened the way Irena Obermanová described it in her book. Judging from what is going on afterwards and how he denied it or he was forced to deny it, maybe, it's another confirmation for me that it's absolutely, that it was true.
And Czechs are obviously very fascinated with this book. It's selling very well. Why do you think that is? Why do you think especially someone like ex-president Havel would be fascinating the public so much?
First thing is, it's open, it's honest, and it's rough. It's she doesn't hide anything, and it's it would be interesting even if we didn't know who the person was. You know, it's just that it's the openness about the relationship and the description. It's just the honesty. That's one thing, and then plus it's Václav Havel. You know, you don't get any bigger than that, and it's so live, it's so juicy. It's please, nobody would ever think that he's able to have an affair, I mean, even a physical affair, you know. And the third thing is, nobody really knows if it's really true, I think, apart from these two guys and their closest friends.
If we talk about whether this is true or whether this is just a very clever marketing step, Václav Havel himself has come out and said none of this is true, it's merely fictional. But I do believe, actually, that the two of them knew each other, that they were friends. So maybe you can explain his reaction a bit and give your personal opinion.
My personal opinion is that he had to deny it. And he had to deny it because his wife was furious. She's a very controlling person. And how come this let out of her sight and she didn't realize, you know? And how come it's public? And it's totally demeaning her position as this, oh my God, oh, so desired wife of this old, you know, unhealthy former president. And, you know, Václav Havel, he always wanted to write a diary. He even said that in his book, Please Briefly, or Briefly Please. He even said that in his book, he always wanted to write the most open, the most honest, roughest diary he could. And he probably was never courageous enough. When I read his denial of the affair, you know, I know Václav Havel's style of writing, and this is not Václav Havel's style of writing. He doesn't write this, he's not that negative, he's not that, you know, sharp, and he's not that hurting in his writings, in his style of writing. So I don't even think it was him who wrote this.
Sarah Borůvka was talking there to Society reporter Jana Cíglerová. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, a look at the life of Egon Hostovský, one of the most distinctive and significant modern-day Czech writers, who fled his country twice, first to escape the Nazis and later the communists. For Czechs, the 20th century was a turbulent time. Independent Czechoslovakia was founded in 1918 only to later fall victim to the two great tyrannies of modern history, Nazism and Communism. Many Czechs fled their country during the 20th century so that they could live as free people, and often simply to save their lives. Wednesday marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of Egon Hostovský, one of the most distinctive and significant modern-day Czech writers, who fled his country twice, first to escape the Nazis and later the communists. In 1949, a year after the communist takeover of Czechoslovakia, Egon Hostovský left his country for the second time to live in the United States. He was a respected Czech writer whose psychological novels often explored the lives of people in search of their identity, outcasts and misfits. Over the phone from Massachusetts in the United States, Egon Hostovský's son Paul, born in 1959 to Egon and his third wife, says that for his father, life in America was not easy.
I don't think he was ever entirely comfortable in this country. I think he stayed mostly with his Czech friends in the Czech community, which was largely in New York, in the suburbs of New Jersey. He was like a European among the sprinklers, you know. He didn't fit in, and I don't think he was ever truly comfortable in that environment. I'm sure that he missed, you know, the life that he knew in Prague before the war, and his friends, and certainly his family, all of whom perished in the Holocaust.
Egon Hostovský was born on the 23rd of April 1908 to a Jewish family in Hronov, eastern Bohemia. His father owned a small textile factory and wanted Egon to take over the family business one day. But Egon published his first book, a collection of short stories, at the age of 17, while still studying in the local secondary school. 3 years later, he published the novel Ghetto v nich, or The Ghetto Within, which even then featured the central theme of Hostovský's work. Professor Vladimír Papoušek of the Institute of Bohemian Studies at the University of South Bohemia in České Budějovice is a leading expert on Hostovský's work.
He created a sort of logical scheme in his work. In his novels from the early 1930s, he had already picked up some themes, most notably the theme of a person who becomes an outcast, a nomad who never finds a solid base in life. In his later works, he expanded on various versions of this ostracization, of the search for home that is nowhere to be found.
Hledání po nějakém domově, který vlastně nikde jaksi není.
In 1937, Egon Hostovský joined the Czechoslovak Foreign Ministry. When Czechoslovakia was occupied by Nazi Germany in the spring of 1939, Hostovský was on a lecture tour of Belgium and managed to escape to the United States. There, in 1942, he published one of his best-known novels, Sedmkrát v hlavní úloze, or Seven Times the Leading Man. The novel was critical of Czech politicians and the Czech government in exile and alienated him from the refugee community in the United States.
The Czech exile community never really accepted this significant Czech writer. At the time, he was more appreciated by English-speaking intellectuals who tried to help him to reach English-speaking readers. One of those was Graham Greene, who recommended his work for translation, and they eventually became friends. Among the others were writers and intellectuals Waldo Frank and Louis Mumford.
In a publication commemorating Egon Hostovský's 50th birthday, Graham Greene gave an account of their first encounter 10 years before. My first meeting with Egon Hostovský had some of the flavor of his own works, Graham Greene wrote in 1958, a complex flavor of black humor, melodrama and despair. It was in Prague during the week of the Communist Revolution. Hostovský came to my hotel room straight from a last meeting at his foreign office with his beloved chief Masaryk, who was to suffer defenestration a few days later. We sat on the bed finishing my bottle of Scotch whiskey, and the streets outside were noisy with processions of trade unionists, shouting away their freedom. In the United States, Egon Hostovský worked for Radio Free Europe, but never stopped being a full-time Czech writer. He never mastered the English language, and all his novels had to be translated from Czech, which was one of the reasons he never became a star novelist in the United States. Meanwhile, Egon Hostovský's novels were banned in Czechoslovakia. One of his most important books, Všeobecné spiknutí, or The Plot, did get published in Prague in 1969, in the aftermath of the brief period of liberalization known as the Prague Spring. Egon Hostovský never visited his native country again and died in New Jersey in 1973. A year later, his wife Regina established the Egon Hostovský Award, a literary prize for proscribed Czech writers, which was awarded to such Czech writers as Ludvík Vaculík, Ivan Klíma, Egon Bondy and others. After the fall of communism, his daughter Olga Kastielová-Hostovská undertook the task of publishing his collected works. But she says that Czech readers had by and large lost interest in her father's books by then.
The books of Egon Hostovský were translated into 15 languages, inclusive Arabic and Japanese. Readers at least from 20 states could read them. At the beginning of the 90s, when I wanted to start publishing Hostovský's works in 12 volumes, none of the known publishers was willing to assume this task. There was only one beginning publisher who believed to be able to manage it. He wasn't. Two other publishers had to help him. The first volume was published in 1994 in the number of 6,000 copies. The last one, in the number of 600 copies, was published in 2002.
Egon Hostovský's son Paul carries on in his father's literary tradition. The author of several collections of poetry, Paul Hostovský says that growing up in a home full of books was important.
I don't think that my writing has been influenced by his work per se, meaning, you know, the books that he wrote. I think the fact that he was a writer and the fact that he wrote, that influenced me because I grew up among books. Books were important in our home. This was what my father did for a living. I mean, I knew he was a writer, and so I think that encouraged me later on to write. I remember my mother saying to me, "Shush, shush, be quiet, Daddy's writing." So there was this great respect for the fact when he was working in his room and the typewriter was going tap, 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 he was working, he was writing.
More than 35 years after Egon Hostovský's death, his novels bear witness to the troubled times he lived through. In an autobiographical sketch in the late 1960s, Egon Hostovský explained what he was hoping to achieve through his work. "During my lifetime, I have witnessed activities of great personalities, and I have been touched by great historical events. I am able to talk about Joseph Stalin and Billy Graham. I saw in person Nikita Khrushchev shoulder to shoulder with President Eisenhower, and I saw and even heard Elvis Presley. I can talk about the astronauts and the Beatles, about war in South Asia and the remarriage of Elizabeth Taylor. Haunted by all these experiences, I have been trying, independently of psychiatrists, to find a key to our troubled times and to build in my literature a place of spiritual security for myself and my readers." That edition of Czechs in History was first broadcast in April 2008. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Sound Czech, our Czech language learning program, brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
Welcome to another edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language course in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by Ivan Hlas and is called Na kolena, which incidentally is the phrase to listen out for today. Kolena means on your knees and can be used to describe a state where someone has been knocked down by adverse circumstances. Then vyhazov mi srazil na kolena means getting fired brought me to my knees. As in most languages, it is also used to describe an attitude of supplication. Odprosit na koleno means to beg forgiveness on one's knees. To get someone into such a position is dostat ho na kolena. Have another listen to the song. Knees also appear in a number of phrases where you might not expect them. When Czechs say they have taken to doing something in their old age, they will use the expression na stará kolena, on my old knees. Na stará kolena se učím jazyky translates literally as on my old knees I've started learning languages and means I've started learning languages in my old age. Or na stará kolena jsem začal cestovat means I have taken to traveling in my old age. Another funny expression involving knees refers to someone who is thrifty. Propětník by si nechal koleno vrtat means he would let them drill his knee for a dime. And finally, there is the expression z druhého kolena. Bratranec z druhého kolena means cousin twice removed. Or bratranec třetího kolena, the cousin from the third knee, is cousin three times removed. And finally, when in the Czech Republic, someone may offer you vepřová kolena, meaning pig's knees, which will arrive on your plate grilled together with radish and applesauce. That's it for today's Czech lesson. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs are available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. But for now, from myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.